here on the Laura Ingraham Show, Mike Pence. Vice President Pence, welcome to the show.
Hey, Laura, great to be back on.
Vice President Pence, the reaction to the decision yesterday was really out of control. I mean, from, of course, the usual suspects on cable news, but now to Vladimir Putin, who apparently said today that now we can blame the United States for Moscow's weather. What's your reaction to that?
Well, it's pretty predictable. When the United States got out of the Kyoto Protocol, you remember, back during the Bush years. So we heard the same apocalyptic pronouncements from the left in this country and around the world. The result of that was for the next 14 years, we actually reduced CO2 emissions by 18% just through American innovation and industrial creativity. And so, you know, I couldn't be more proud. And to be vice president to a president who gets up every day, fights for the American people, for American workers, and to put America first. And I think what people around the world yesterday, and I talked to some leaders around the world later in the day, but what they saw in the Rose Garden was an American president putting America first.
So the point from the Greeniacs in the European Union. And Putin obviously added to this point, is that America is being irresponsible and going it alone, that only a handful of countries did not sign on to this agreement. And now our country is in full isolationist mode. This was repeated on CNN all day yesterday. And so is there any concern that America will be an island unto herself?
Well, my favorite line in the speech is the one that's gotten a lot of attention when the president said he was elected, you know, to represent the people of Pittsburgh, not Paris. And Frank, you can look, you know, I know you're a great student of history, Laura. You can look through American history. You can see many times where in the salons of Europe, American presidents and the United States were accused of the very same thing. Every time we put America first, every time we have stood up for the interests of the American people, we usually take the ire of the wider world. But there's a reason why we're the freest and most prosperous nation in the history of the world, and that's because we are a nation that is grounded in a constitution and committed to the principles of freedom, including economic freedom. And the bottom line is, this was a bad deal for the American people. It was a bad deal for the American economy. By one estimate, by 2040, our economy would have lost 6.5 million industrial jobs, including 3 million manufacturing jobs.
But the argument is those jobs are going away anyway. What the globalists are saying is those jobs are going away. America's trying to hold on to a past that's never coming back, and we're not innovating as we should, et cetera, et cetera. Nicholas Burns, by the way, the Bush administration senior official, he said, from a foreign policy perspective, it's a colossal mistake, an abdication of American leadership. I can't think of anything more destructive to our credibility than this, he said.
Well, look, what the world saw a week ago was the president from the Middle East to Europe embracing his role as leader of the free world. He was focused on what the people of his country want an American president focused on, and that was counterterrorism and national security. The president went to Europe and he said, look, we need to refocus NATO on confronting terrorism. And in the midst of his trip, we saw the horrific attack in Manchester. Now, in the days that have followed, the horrific attack in Kabul, confirming the president's focus. And he also called on our allies in Europe to step up and keep the promises that they have made to us and to one another to share the burden of our common defense. I mean, that's being leader of the free world. Those alliances have been strengthened by the president. And I would tell you that the agenda of the left in this country and around the world with regard to climate change it has, in my judgment, from the days of the Kyoto Protocol, from the days of cap and trade when I was in the Congress, and all the way through, you know, 2015 and the Paris Accord, have always been about hamstringing the American economy while allowing countries like China and India to continue to develop apace, and while our taxpayers and our workers pay the burden. And yesterday, President Donald Trump said those days are over.
Vice President Pence, the politics of today is so nasty. I mean, I've seen it. I've been here for a long time,
yeah.
25 years almost. From the Reagan administration days onward, there has been a sharp decline in the tone of the rhetoric, the personal nature of attacks against individuals who believe differently than another group of individuals who are connected to this administration now. And is there, in your mind, anything the president can do or should do to reach out to Americans who maybe don't agree with him on issues, whether it's climate change or, you know, tax reform, anything, Obamacare, in order to bring the temperature down? I mean, he is the leader of the whole country. He said that during his inaugural address that, you know, he would seek to do that. What is your thought on that going into this summer of resistance?
There's no question this is a very challenging time. I mean, America is more divided at the end of the last administration than America was at the beginning. But, you know, we've seen an electorate going all the way back to the election in 2000 that's been deeply divided. But, you know, I honestly believe the antidote is a growing America. I mean, what's encouraging, it should be encouraging to every American, is the president that I serve with here at the White House every day is completely focused on making America safe again and making America prosperous again. I really do believe that the exodus of jobs from this country, the you know, the porous borders, the crisis of illegal immigration, you know, all of those issues that have been ignored or neglected, or the American people have been told that's just a part of the reality you have to accept. We're in a global economy now. We need to move on. Here you have in President Trump someone who says, no, we don't need to accept that. We can be a nation with borders. We can rebuild our military, and we can hunt down and destroy ISIS. And when it comes to the economy, from the first day of this administration, as you know, Laura, as you've talked about it more than anybody else, this president's been rolling back regulations. He's been battling to repeal and replace Obamacare. He's been advancing policies through executive action that have generated confidence in this economy that just this morning, the unemployment rate now is at a 16-year low. Everywhere
right, but
I
that
go
same,
in the country,
yeah, I mean, I think that,
standing,
that's impressive.
That prosperity way back to more unity.
Right,
I really do.
Yeah, I think you're right that the stronger we get economically, the less a lot of these side issues become important. Things look less relevant when the economy's booming. Of course, the numbers in May.
People are just, I'll tell you what, I was just talking to some folks on Fox News this morning, and, you know, the whole cap and trade regime, the whole climate change regime, coming from a state in the industrial Midwest that has seen jobs leave our shores, go south to Mexico, go overseas, and that you know, we're a state in Indiana that was very dependent, continues to be, on coal-burning power plants. To see the war on coal that's been underway, I mean, it's like you've got elites, you know, in the salons in Europe and in New York and Washington and Los Angeles who sit around and talk about these things, and then people in the heartland pay the price.
Oh, big time.
And in President Donald Trump, folks know they've got someone who's fighting for them, and he's making a difference.
But you got to get this economy going, though. I mean, you got only 138,000 jobs added in May, Vice President Pence. Unemployment did decline, but wage growth is still very disappointing. Out of the workforce numbers, people out of the workforce, those are unacceptably high. Without tax reform going through this year, without the Obamacare repeal and replace being passed through Congress, I don't see how you get this GDP up to where the president wants it to be, 3% and 4%. People are saying that's a pipe dream. And so how do you get this? How do you get the Congress to get off its duff and get this tax reform passed? And what is the White House willing to do? What capital is it willing to expend to get this tax reform done?
Well, the numbers just came out this morning, 600,000 private sector jobs since we took office. But you are 100% right. To get this economy back on its feet, to get us back, the historic average in this economy is 3%. you hear the way all the experts were saying, well, the president's budget's wrong because he assumes 3% growth. That's the average. This is the most powerful economy in the history of the world, and we've just gotten used to, you know, lackluster performance.
So how do you get Congress? How do you get Ryan and McConnell to get this stuff done, Vice President Pence? They respect you. Well, they know you. And this stuff is being slow-walked, and my listeners want answers here. And they want the president to go over there and kick some tail, if necessary, frankly, and say, guys, this is my agenda. You got to get this through. These are the four things we need to grow this economy. I don't care what else you do on these other things, but we got to get these four elements of tax reform passed, and we got to do it now.
Well, you're absolutely right. What I would tell you is, while the media focuses on a whole lot of other things every single day of the week, we are making steady progress to repeal and replace Obamacare. The Senate, which I spend a lot of time over there, the Senate is working very diligently to keep their promise to repeal and replace Obamacare. There are very substantive talks between leaders in Congress and here at the White House to advance the president's plan to pass the what may well be one of the largest tax cuts in American history. The president wants to rebuild the infrastructure in this country with a $1 trillion infrastructure plan. But what I can assure you is that all of those issues are moving. We're making steady progress. But your listeners around the country should let their elected representatives hear from them. And you're absolutely right. We don't get America prospering again. We don't make America's economy great again unless we repeal and replace Obamacare and unless we pass the kind of tax relief that will unleash the boundless energy of the American economy.
Vice President Pence, I only have a minute or so. Yesterday it came out that we've allowed in 46,371 refugees so far in the United States. That's up 19% in May. Overwhelming majority of those are Muslim refugees. This is the same time the Supreme Court will received a petition from the Trump administration that they're challenging the circuit court's stay of the travel ban. That's a lot of refugees we're bringing into the country. Are you confident that the vetting and is being done right, and this is what we should be doing right now with, you know, so few jobs being created on at least the last month basis?
Well, as you know, America has a long history of welcoming refugees from around the world, and we're working very, very diligently to implement the president's strategy of extreme vetting. But I have to tell you, I'm very encouraged that we're finally to the point where the Supreme Court of the United States is going to have its say about the president's executive order. You know, the president signed an executive order built on the principle that no one has a right to come into this country. It is a privilege to come into the United States of America. And the president has the authority to control who comes into this country in the interest of the safety and security of the American people. We started with a pause on immigration from seven countries. We worked with our allies in Iraq to reinforce their internal security procedures so that we could allow a go forward with Iraq. But I have every confidence that the Supreme Court of the United States is going to recognize President Trump's constitutional and statutory authority to put the safety and security of the American people first and prevent immigration from countries that do not have the kind of safeguards to ensure that people coming from there don't represent a threat to our people.
Well, we certainly want that, and I hope I know we're out of time, but I hope you find the leakers, because this leaking is hurting national security. And if it takes intermittent random lie detector tests, then that's what has to happen. But we got to stop this leaking out of the intelligence agencies and maybe even the White House. Vice President Pence, it's always great to talk to you. And give my best to your wife, who did that great prayer before the Heroes Ride last weekend. I loved her prayer. She had to nudge you, by the way. I love that. She's like, Mike, I think we should do a prayer. I saw her say that. It was hilarious.
She did. She did. They were getting ready to take a wonderful ride supporting wounded warriors and first responders. But you were right. She just leaned over to me and said, I think we should pray them out of here.
Yeah, and I was like, the women always get it done, okay? The women always, okay, guys, you did your speech. Now let me do the thing that's most important. Vice President Pence, always always great to talk to you. Give my best to Mrs. Pence, please.
I will. Thanks, Laura.
All right. Good to